There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
If you're literally being threatened to be killed, there's no excuse for that.
No. Like
if people are, oh,
zero.
People that's, she's pumping gas, telling her adulterers are the worst person in the world, you're scum of the earth, whatever else, that's over the line.
It's too much.
Way too much. But the Philly fanatic doing what the Philly fanatic did? No.
I mean, again, wrong place, wrong time. They shouldn't have been doing it. But also, if they played it off, if they go and laugh about some of the jokes that are being made, is it really this big of
an
issue?
You can even take part in the humor, and that way you deflect it somehow.
Right.
Anyway, Chris Harrington coming up next. He's got a terrific piece at the Daily Memphian on the new Craig Brewer film, Song Sung Blue. I'd urge you to read that. We'll talk to him about that and the Grizzlies as well. And then Jeffrey is going to, by the miracle of modern technology, is going to be able to beam himself back into the studio to make his picks for the college football games. We'll do that in the second hour. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's a Cherry Cherry, an early Neil Diamond song that features prominently in Craig Brewer's new movie Song Sung Blue, which I wrote about this week.
Terrific piece about Song Sung Blue. I read it yesterday. I'd urge you to read it over at the Daily Memphian. Before I get to the movie itself, do you have a favorite Neil Diamond song?
I here's where I confess, I guess for the first time, I guess I literally wrote this sentence in a year in movie thing I'm writing, working on right now.
Uh-huh.
So I'll confess it here first, then I'll confess it in print. Here's where I confess that I'm pretty allergic to Neil Diamond. Always have been, really.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't really like Neil Diamond, but the movie made me like that song in particular. Like I like the version in the movie done by Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman more than I like the Neil Diamond version. So I am not a Neil Diamond guy, but he certainly has some hits.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And then what is Neil Diamond's history? He recorded stuff in Memphis too. Did he record stuff in Memphis along the way?
Yeah, he recorded a couple albums at American Studios, the heyday of American Studios, which no longer exists. There's now a placard in front of the Family Dollar where it used to be. American Studios was a big poppin' studio, Chips Moman studio in the late 60s, early 70s. Like Elvis did Suspicious Minds there. All kinds of stuff happened there for a few years. And Neil Diamond recorded a couple albums there. And most notably, Sweet Caroline, his biggest hit, or at least his most enduring hit, I think was written in Memphis and recorded there in American.
All right. So the film is Song Sung Blue by Craig Brewer. It's a Craig Brewer production. Tell us about it. How did it come to pass? What is it?
It's interesting. It is an adaptation of a documentary, actually, by the same name. A very little scene, small documentary. But a documentary that played at Indie Memphis Film Festival in 2009. I remember the documentary being at the festival, but I didn't see it. I think I signed it to someone else when I was doing festival coverage. I think maybe Chris Davis wrote about it for us at the Memphis Flyer. There's a documentary about a tribute act in Milwaukee, a couple. They call themselves Lightning and Thunder, and they did a Neil Diamond routine, and they became like a big thing in Milwaukee, like local heroes kind of thing. And so it's the documentary is about this couple who have a Neil Diamond tribute act in Milwaukee. And Craig saw it at the festival and like thought it would make a good, you know, feature film. And it took him, you know, 15 years or whatever for the right opportunity to come up to get it made, and then made it. So it's based on that. So it's based on a true story. Because it's based on a true story and it mostly like goes with the true story, it takes some wild twists that I don't think if you were just fictionalizing, coming up with if you were just writing your own fictional movie based on the premise of like this couple in Milwaukee who has a Neil Diamond act, you wouldn't come up with. And so whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think it's eye of the beholder. I think I probably would have liked the movie even more if it were more of a straightforward like movie just about their music instead of about some of the twists in their personal life that actually happened.
You've seen the movie. It opens when?
Yeah,
it opens Christmas Day?
I've seen it twice. It opens Christmas Day.
I see. And that is, as you point out, a big platform, a big stage.
Yeah, you know, Christmas Day. It's not just for, you know, presents. It's for apparently basketball games and movies. The studio put it there because they have high hopes for it, because they think it will be popular. And that's a high profile platform, and it's a wide release, right? It's not something that's trickling out. It will open coast to coast in theaters and multiplexes all at once on Christmas Day.
In the piece, you talk about why it was like he knew he wanted to make this movie, but didn't think he could. And what was the context in which it was for him to get this type of movie, given what was happening in his career that made it difficult to sell at the time?
Well, at the time he saw the documentary, that was when he was working on Footloose, getting Footloose off the ground, which was his third, really his fourth movie, but his third movie like with distribution. And that was something that people were hoping would be a commercial hit, and it wasn't. And you know, the lack of success commercially of that Footloose remake, I think, sent him in a different direction. He ended up doing a lot of TV, got involved in that TV show Empire. So it was a long time. He did a couple other things that never saw the light of day. It was a long time after Footloose before he got a significant feature film made, which was My Name is Dolomite with Eddie Murphy, which mostly went straight to streaming, but that's just a product of the era. Like, that was a big movie. And the success of Dolomite working with Eddie Murphy, I think, got him a better audience with studios in terms of movie ideas. And he pitched sort of the idea. He still hadn't written the script. He pitched the idea of Song Sung Blue in the aftermath of My Name is Dolomite. And it was well received enough that the studio, when they were having, you know, unrelated meetings with Hugh Jackman about other projects, they floated that out there and said, "Hey, are you a Neil Diamond fan? We got this idea floating around. Would you be interested in that?" And Hugh Jackman was interested enough to take a call with Craig and talk about the idea of the project. And Craig sold him on it. Craig's good at selling people on stuff. And Hugh Jackman said, "Okay, I'm on board. Go write a script. Let's see if we can do this." And, you know, it took a few years after that, as it tends to, for the lineup with his own schedule and everything else to actually do it. But, you know, they did it.
And again, I'd urge people to read the story, because it's a terrific story about a lot of it's about Memphis music and the rich depth of musicians in town, because it wasn't filmed in Memphis, but the music was made in Memphis largely for this film.
Yeah. It wasn't even filmed in Milwaukee. You know, there's right. No reason for it to film in Memphis. But the Memphis, other than Craig being a Memphis based person, the Memphis connection to the production is the music. Craig works with Scott Bomar, who's a longtime Memphis musician, producer, studio guy, engineer, all kinds of stuff. Scott has been one of Craig's most constant collaborators, not just in Memphis, but period, and has worked on a lot of his stuff over the years. And Scott is the I don't remember what the title is, but basically he's in charge of the music for the whole movie. He's the executive music producer or whatever. And basically this is a wall-to-wall music movie. It's not just the Neil Diamond people, because they come out of a tribute artist subculture. There's also a Buddy Holly tribute artist is in the movie. And the woman in the couple, played by Kate Hudson, starts out as a Patsy Cline tribute artist. And then there's an R&B band that the guy's in. There's all this other music, too, in addition to all the Neil Diamond music. And basically, Bomar was in charge of the whole shebang in terms of the music. All the music you hear in the movie, both performed within the movie and also the score, which he composed, was all overseen by Scott Bomar, and it was all recorded, every second of it, other than the Kate Hudson, Hugh Jackman vocals. It was all recorded in Memphis, in Memphis studios, mostly with Memphis musicians, with one ringer they brought in from Nashville, a guitar player who had actually played with Neil Diamond in the past.
They do, by the way, they do their own vocals. Jackman and Hudson do their own. Jackman was in Les Mis, I think, wasn't he?
He was in The Greatest Showman, and he's sort of known as a musical guy.
Yeah. Who is Richard Bennett? What's his story?
He's just a session guitar player, a Nashville-based session guitarist, but he had played on a lot of some of the Neil Diamond recordings, the original versions of some of these songs he played on. And so Scott Bomar hunted him down and found him and brought him into Memphis. He had done Memphis sessions before too, not in the Neil Diamond ones, but other Memphis work. Just a session guitar player who had played with Neil Diamond on Neil Diamond recordings in the past and live with Neil Diamond, and brought him in to work on this too.
All right. And I urge people to read the piece. Really fascinating. Like John Paul Keith is on the Buddy Holly numbers. It really is a story about Memphis musicians as much as anything. So Craig Brewer, of course. But anyway, terrific piece at the Daily Memphian. All right, onward to the Grizzlies. Interesting game last night. Our friend Dylan Brooks was at it again. As the Suns beat the Warriors for a long time. And by the way, the Grizzlies are now, the way that it has played out, because the Suns won that game, the Grizzlies now alone in eighth. So they would play right in that play-in game against the Suns were the season to end today. They are two games. Minnesota is two up on Phoenix. Minnesota's in sixth. Phoenix is in seventh. And then Phoenix two up on the Grizzlies. For a long time, I was hoping that Phoenix was fraudulent, fake, schedule, whatever else. Are we prepared to at least admit to ourselves that they're not going to – they've totally screwed up this Grizzlies draft pick? It's going to – like they're going to be in the play-in, and they are a perfectly solid team that's going to hang in there?
Oh, I think they're going to be in the play-in, but I think there's a good chance they're ninth in the play-in.
Right.
I've chosen to look at this week of games this way. The Grizzlies had the game at Minnesota. Now that they've won the game at Minnesota, which was the unlikely win, they had the game at Minnesota, which they won, and then they're going to follow that up with home against Washington. In between those, Phoenix and Golden State are playing a home road back-to-back against each other.
Right.
And those were before last night, the two teams ahead of the Grizzlies in the standings. And so if the Grizzlies win both of their games, and they've already won the hard ones, so let's say they beat Washington at home, if that happens, then no matter what the outcome is in the two Phoenix Golden State games, the Grizzlies are going to gain a total of two games on the teams above them. It may be that they gain two games on one team and zero on another, they split it 1-1. But they're going to gain in total two games on the teams in front of them. So this is a good week for them. If the Grizzlies, all they have to do is beat Washington, and then matter what happens in the other games, or it doesn't matter as much. I would prefer to gain the games on Phoenix because you get double value on that.
Right.
It's playoff and draft. But either way, you're gaining ground. And like Phoenix has still been winning a lot. They've just been eking out these games. It has a 1-point win. You know, they beat Minnesota twice in games they probably should have lost. Phoenix is definitely better than people thought and better than Grizzlies fans hoped. But I still don't think they're as good as their record, and I still think they're going to slide down the standings a little bit. I mean, the 4-6 in the last 10, they're already sliding a little bit.
Well, it's funny. If you look at the West, it feels like the top five, Oklahoma City, Denver, the Lakers have been, you know, what everyone thinks about them, they've been pretty – like Luka was tremendous again last night. San Antonio and Houston, it feels like those are like – none of them are going to be in the play-in, barring some catastrophic injury. And so if you're trying to aim to get to be sixth, that's Minnesota. And then you're in this tangle with Phoenix, the Grizzlies, Golden State, Portland, whatever. Do you think that Minnesota, is that a, I mean, if you're going to be aspirational for the Grizzlies, is that the goal? Is that gettable? Sixth?
I don't think
probably
it's likely.
Not. No, right.
Certainly, but right. I think the Grizzlies should focus on being seven before they
right.
worry about
okay,
being
that's six. Fine. Focus on being seven is very know, doable. Mean, seven is very right. doable, right? If you're healthy and playing well, seven is very doable.
And if you're the seven, then between if you're the seven, you have a home, you will have a home play-in game, and all you have to do is win that game, and you're fully in the playoffs without having to play the Thunder, right?
Right.
And would it be better to be six and play whoever's going to be third, you know, the Lakers, Spurs, Rockets, then to play the Nuggets? Yeah, probably. But you're going to be underdog either way. So, like, you know, put yourself in position right. to have a full playoff series that's not against the Thunder, you know?
All right. So, and then, so of the teams that are now in the play-in, the Suns, the Grizzlies, the Warriors, and Portland coming up from behind, and Dallas has actually been better, although Lively's out now, obviously, for the Cooper Flagg has been better. Who do you... how do you sort those out? Who do you particularly believe in or not?
Oh, I think the Warriors and the Grizzlies are probably should be the teams in the 7-8 game. And then the Suns are probably 9. And then I think the Mavericks are 10 if they want to be 10. You know, but, right. but I don't know. I mean, they may trade Anthony Davis and not bring right. back Kyrie and whatever. I think of all the teams 10 through 15, if everyone tried their hardest, I think Dallas is probably the best team, but I don't think they're going to try their hardest, and so I think it's probably going to be Portland.
In terms of Dylan Brooks, he had 24 points last night as the Suns beat the Warriors. He also had a flagrant foul in the final minute when they're up 96-91 that allowed yeah. the Warriors to come back and tie the game. He then missed a three badly, but they got the rebound, were fouled, and won the game. How much credit do you give, like, for all of his histrionics, there does seem to be a certain culture that travels with Dylan Brooks in the positive way.
I mean, I was more right. positive, I think, on Dylan when he was in Memphis for most of his career. So I'm not like a, uh-huh. I've never been a real anti Dylan Brooks guy. I value the defense tremendously. And his ability to create shots, I value. It's the making them wavers, and then there's all just the extra stuff. And that extra stuff, there's an element of floor raising, ceiling lowering to all of that. And I think you're seeing that play out a little bit,
right?
Where he has made them more solid defensively. He has given them some spirit and some competitiveness, and that has made them better. But I think people are starting to get a little exhausted with it now. I mean, that is a process that played out in Memphis over multiple seasons. It's sort of playing out in Phoenix over one season, where it's just like he gets himself in, you know, he brings attention to himself so much, so often that after a while, that sometimes it gets to be a little much. I think it's starting to become a little much, you know, in the last couple of weeks there.
Right. Already. Yeah. All right. Wizards tomorrow. What do you make of the Wizards?
I mean, they're bad. They're even worse than I thought they would be. I think they may have the worst record in the league, them or the Pelicans. Pelicans won, though, so it's probably the Wizards probably the worst record in the league. So they're 4-21. They got a lot of young players, and, like, do they have the guy? I don't think they have the guy. They may have the number two or number three. Like, Alex Starr is really talented and is a two-way player. It's a big, and he might be a good, like, second or third guy on a good team. But they don't have the number one guy, and, like, they really need it. I mean, this is a team that needs to, like, win the lottery or whatever and have Derek Peterson become a star or A.J. DeBanza or somebody, because they just don't have the building block. They've just drafted lots of dudes in the mid to late lottery, and, like, they're just kind of okay, you yeah. know, and that adds up to a bad team.
That is so brutal. 4 wins in 25 games. They're 4-21. Yeah. And, yes, Indiana, Sacramento – the Clippers and New Orleans have all won 6. And then Brooklyn has won 7. So that's a pretty impressive bad list of bad teams in the league. Yeah. That's some stiff competition if you want one of those picks. All right. And big opportunity for the Grizzlies to get back to 500. And then finally, I did see that Kevin Garnett has rejoined the Timberwolves organization and as whatever part owner or something is he's rejoined. And I know you're a Kevin Garnett guy. I didn't realize his number had never been retired, but the addendum to the story was this will enable his number to be retired.
I mean, you don't need a player's permission to retire their number, but you need their involvement if you want to have a ceremony about it. Right.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he was at odds with the Glenn Taylor ownership to the degree that he wasn't going to come back and do the ceremony, you sort of hold off until you can create a better relationship to allow you to have that. Because that's what you want. You don't just want the number up in the arena. You want the Kevin Garnett night, man.
Tony Allen talking for 45 minutes, right?
So now that they have repaired the relationship, they're gonna finally do that.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Herndon from the Daily Memphian. George, you like Neil Diamond?
I do. I can't complain about Neil Diamond. I mean, a lot of classics in there.
It would be no shock to anybody, I don't think, to hear that I like Neil Diamond. And probably no shock to hear anyone that Chris does not. You know, I'm a cheese ball and proud to be. All right. We are going to take a break. And then through the miracle of modern technology, we're going to beam Jeffrey back here to tell you what he thinks of the college football weekend. We will do that next. Before then, I will remind you that this is the last weekend to do your Christmas shopping. It's going to be festive out there, people. It's going to be festive out there. And Robert Irwin Jewelers opened not just Saturday, but also Sunday. And I was in there. I said this earlier. I went into Oak Hall this week. I went into Robert Irwin Jewelers this week, two of my absolute favorite places, picked out things that I love. I've shopped more in my life for clothes than jewelry, though. I'm not like a – and it is such a delightful experience. Howie offering chocolate and water and saying hello to everyone as they – a lot of people, honestly, what struck me was how many people, when they walked back in, it was – they clearly go to Robert Irwin Jewelers – a lot, right? This is their place because they trust it and they know you've got stunning jewelry for reasonable prices. But then there was a guy who had been a young man who had been looking for an engagement ring, and he'd been looking all over town, and he was sitting there talking to Rebecca about possibilities and could he find this? And of course they can. They're obsessed with diamond rings there, but they're obsessed with making your shopping experience, whether it's holidays or any other time, memorable. And they have lots of unbelievable things to offer this Christmas season. Diamond Flexi bangles starting at just $199. They're comfortable, durable, versatile, perfect gift. Looks great solo or stacked. You got the Star of Hope diamond necklace. It's got a star with a sparkling diamond in the center. Each purchase supports nonprofits making a difference as well, one sparkle at a time. That's from $199 to $6,999. And of course, if you're thinking about getting engaged either this Christmas season or in any time in 2026, head on in there as well. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers, 12-month interest-free financing, or take up to 60 months to pay. I go to the location right across from Novel and Perkins Extended. Find the one closest to you or check them out online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, it is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union, then why don't you do that in 2026? You're probably fed up with your bank. Probably changed names 3 times. You don't know who works there. You know, they give you mysterious ticky-tack fees. And none of that's true at Leaders Credit Union. Leaders Credit Union is a place where I'll be honest, didn't know a lot about it. And then we started talking about it here. And the whole idea that they don't have stockholders, they're a credit union. And so every dollar gets plowed back into better service, better technology, better rates. That made sense to me. So that's where we do our banking now. And you can walk into the branch in Bartlett or walk into the branch in Arlington, or you can just download the app and the Leaders Credit Union app and see for yourself. We particularly, when we were talking to them about a new mortgage, like you can get them on the phone, they're unbelievably helpful. So whether you're looking for a new mortgage, whether you're looking for a mortgage or a car loan, or getting your kids started, Jason, I know Jason's kid has his own little account, learn how to save, all of that. Leaders Credit Union. In 2026, make a point, leaderscu.com/ESPN. All right, so we got a big weekend in college football. Let's see what Jeffrey thinks.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
First of all, Jeffrey, before we get to this, what do you think about last year? While everyone acknowledged the playoff, 12-team playoff, great thing, et cetera, the rate, like, interest seemed to tail off.
Yeah.
Right? Even as you were reaching the zenith of the college football season. And I am looking forward to these games. Tonight's in particular.
I'm looking forward to the first two.
And I'm looking forward to how the whole thing's going to play out. I do think that one of the things that they're up against is the sports calendar. We have internal rhythms. You know what I mean? This is the time when we start thinking about football. This is the time when we start thinking about basketball. This is the time when we start paying attention. And it's a little jarring to think that there are massive games, massive college football games this weekend. And my suspicion is, just because we're not used to it, we're used to dialing down on college football now.
We're definitely used to winding down. Yeah.
And so I really think it is, you have to rewire your college football calendar around this playoff. And I won't be surprised, even though like it's unbelievably compelling storylines here. I don't know who's going to win the national championship. I think it's going to be Ohio State, but I won't be at all surprised if it's Georgia. I mean, those are the two you'd pick, right? If you could pick two, or you pick Indiana, you get two who could win.
I think if you're saying I can only pick
two. You can only pick two.
I think I'm picking Ohio State. I'm picking Georgia. The problem, though, is that might be actually a bad pick because if we're right, those two teams are meeting in the semis.
Right. That's exactly true. So so maybe you're better off.
You're probably better off going either, Indiana, you know, whoever you think would win that game and then Indiana or, you know.
But I won't be surprised if it takes a while to get used to this calendar. And if I don't know how to, if, I don't know what I'm, ta- if what
well,
I'm
I don't
saying
even
is.
Know, I don't even know if getting used to the calendar is going to be smart because I think it's still work in progress. I mean, to me, one of the bigger deals is we have to stop listening to coaches in terms of coming up with the schedule. Because the whole reason we have all these layoffs is because, well, what if we played in the conference championship? We need 2 weeks off and whatnot. The NFL just sits there and goes, like, perfect example last year. Minnesota and Detroit met week 18, Sunday night football. Winner was going to be the one seed. Loser was going to get on a plane and head to L.A. and play the next week. Tough.
92.9 FM.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I well, I do agree with that, and I mean, I was reading one of the solutions is to still push this a week earlier.
Yeah, and I think they are going
to start the season a week earlier.
Or, well, I think what they're going to start doing is
week zero will be week one.
Well, no, like last week when we had Army Navy,
right?
That's going to be the start of the playoff.
And that makes all the sense in the world.
Correct. You know? You do not need 2 weeks in between these games.
Because I think it's going to, I do think there could be a, I don't know, will it be reflected in TV ratings that are modest?
Well, so tomorrow, the Ole Miss
games ratings, by the way, have been ratings have been good. Go ahead. Yeah.
The Ole Miss game and the Oregon games are going to get absolutely filleted in the ratings because there's not only is there NFL tomorrow, it's on Fox. And then the Saturday night game for Fox is Packers and Bears. You think that'll pop a number?
Yeah, that'll pop a number. They have a hard sellout, obviously, at Ole Miss, and it's great for the city Oxford.
I'm not belittling games.
No, no, and they are actually suggesting that it may be the biggest crowd in Ole Miss history, likely. For tomorrow's game. It's just interesting. I will be interested to see how all of this translates because I still think we're just not, we're used to just putting college football aside and then firing it up for January 1 or around then for a bowl game or two.
100%. Really, because that's been their day forever and ever. I also think there's been, like, all the conversation around this was just Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame.
And not about the teams themselves.
Correct. And then on top of that, we have two games with 17-point spreads or more.
Right, that's true. All right, well, let's get to it. We got four this weekend. What do we got?
All right, Jeff. This is the I don't know which way is the right side, but, well, we've got to bet it anyway. So we got Alabama and Oklahoma tonight. Norman, right now, currently, after spending most of the week as the favorite, Alabama has moved to a slight underdog. Jeff, I believe the story is Alabama has not lost to the same team twice in 123 years. It's not even necessarily history, whatnot for me. It's the fact that Alabama, if they just keep it clean, they're going to be fine. Give me the Tide. I'll roll with them. Give me the point and a half.
You want Alabama laying one?
No, getting one and a half.
I'm sorry, getting one.
It flipped.
Right. You want Alabama getting one and a half? Isn't this basically okay? The unit here that you trust the most is Oklahoma's defense.
No question.
This is really a bet against John Mathier.
It's really a bet against their offense. I think it's true that they have the best defense and the best unit. I also think they have the worst unit.
All right. What do you think of Alabama's offense of late. Can't run the ball, and quarterback is not what he was early in the year.
Jay Miller's supposed to be back. Yeah. Now, Jay Miller played against Oklahoma, whatever, 4 weeks ago, a month ago, when the Sooners came in. I'm actually most concerned about the scuttlebutt that indeed Ty Simpson is banged up, maybe some back issues, and that has led to his decreased play. But Jeff, if and ands were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. So if we can just sit there and go, I'm literally going, I think Kalen DeBoer's a better coach. I think Ty Simpson's a better quarterback. And while maybe they don't have the best unit in this game, I think collectively their offense and their defense are better than the collective offense and defense of Oklahoma.
Just for fun, if this were Notre Dame playing Oklahoma, who would you pick?
Notre Dame.
And would it be more convincingly?
Yes.
If it were Notre Dame.
But Notre Dame would be a bigger favorite, too,
probably. If it were Notre Dame playing Alabama, straight up, who would you be picking?
Assuming it's in Tuscaloosa, are we doing that? Because it'd be a home game. I'm still probably, if I'm just, you have to pick the winner, I'm probably just picking Notre Dame.
It is interesting, isn't it? Like, that does suggest there's something wrong with this playoff.
I think the reality is Notre Dame would have been favored against the entire field except for Ohio State. I think there would have been a slight underdog against Indiana.
And Georgia.
I know they would have been favored against Georgia. Now, yeah. Opening lines. You know what I mean? Like, could
right.
it be
yeah,
bad?
Yeah, yeah,
you know
right. what I mean? Then they move.
Right.
All right. Alabama, go ahead and take the 1.5 over the Sooners.
All right, Jeff, let's go to College Station tomorrow. This is actually the game that I'm the most excited for this weekend.
Game.
Because I don't know if tonight is going to be aesthetically the most fun watch, but I do think tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow early morning could be a lot of fun. Right now, the Miami Hurricanes traveling to College Station. They're getting 3.5. Jeff, this is the... I think these teams are actually the exact same. Both got pretty good lines of scrimmage. Both got exceptional athletes. Both have quarterbacks that you can say good things about, but they also like to throw it to the other team. This is just I think these teams are the same. Give me 3.5. Give me the Hurricanes.
The coaches aren't the same.
Coaches aren't the same, but they are both like want to be physical. One is just understands how clocks work.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You aren't put off by the...
No, I totally am. I'm just ignoring it.
Yeah. So it was posited to me that these two teams... Well, obviously, the teams that will be most... And any team's going to be miserable. The only teams that aren't going to be miserable if they lose are Tulane and James Madison in this first round, right?
Yeah, I think that's
like
right.
Every other team is going to be miserable with this for one reason or another. And those teams just got to make it respectable, and it'll be a big win. But here you have two fan bases that if they lose, you're going to go from successful season to a disaster very quickly. I think the stakes are very emotional stakes.
You nailed
for these two.
And also, this
bases.
Is a narrative bowl because
totally,
this is the classic, you're both frauds. Whoever loses, we're just going to sit there and go, fraud.
So A&M, they've been flying high all year long, and then they lose to Texas, and then they lose this game at home? You're a total fraud. You are A&M. You're still A&M.
Yes. You just had a schedule.
Can't stop being A&M. And if you're Miami, it's 100%. Oh, my God. You couldn't win the conference. They let you win anyway. You got
Correct.
A second chance.
This is, No one has gotten just all the entire system to work for them like you did.
And... You blew it. Notre Dame should have been in. This is a joke that you made it in the first place. That is what is going to happen. And it's not just going to be people outside saying it to those fan bases. It's going to be internally. You're going to know that in your bones.
You have to look in
the
mirror.
You're a fraud. It is going to cause you to look in the mirror. Okay. What do you think of Carson Beck, by the way?
So I feel like I'm pretty pretty consistently on the record. I think Carson Beck's a good player. I do acknowledge he can throw it to the other team. And unfortunately, that's kind of like a cardinal sin. Don't throw it to the other team. But this really, actually, this bet really for me comes down to I just trust Carson Beck a little bit more than I trust Marcel Reed. And I'm just going to ignore the fact that every other league outside of the Big Ten and the SEC is 0-4 in playoff games. We're just totally ignoring that. Doesn't even matter.
All right, Miami plus 3.5 over A&M. Next.
Jeff, I'm going to be there. My wife wants to go.
That's great.
So we're going to go with my brothers and my dad. We are heading to Oxford 2:30 tomorrow.
It's a 2:30 kick.
Correct.
What's your strategy? When are you leaving?
We are leaving tomorrow whenever Aaliyah says we're leaving.
What time do you think that will be?
I'm going to bet she's going to wake up around 8:30. I'm thinking probably 10:30, 11 is when we'll probably hit the road.
And
so I'll be watching.
You go somewhere before? You have
My parents have a condo down there.
But you don't go to the Grove, right?
No.
You don't set up tailgate.
And we don't
just
have
go to the game.
Yeah.
And where are you sitting?
We'll be sitting in Section O, Row 36,
where
Seat 34. It's not the press box side. It's the other side around the 50.
It's my dad's game. Obviously, it's the 9th home game of the year for Ole Miss. Massive game and a chance to get a feel good ending to this. It doesn't have to be the ending. To win with a playoff win at home on this tumultuous, fabulous, but yet tumultuous season would be a great way to kick up, celebrate Christmas. What do you think?
Jeff, Pete Golding better cover. I'm laying 17.
better cover because you need the cash or because...
I think it would be wise for him to start the campaign off with the, all right, we're going to.
What did we learn? Obviously, last time these two teams played, it was totally one-sided.
Yeah, it was a game script issue.
That gives Tulane hope to keep it respectable?
They moved the football okay. They did not finish a single drive. Like, that was a big problem. But the same problem that we talked about, you know, when you think back to the end of the year when I took Memphis against Tulane, they still have the same issue. They do not tackle very well, and if you can run the football, you can move it on them. They're pretty good against the pass. Like, their secondary is pretty good. They're pretty sticky, but they really struggle against the run, and Kewon Lacy's on the other side.
Kewon Lacy, big game for Kewon Lacy. It was interesting. I was listening to Carter talk about one of the things. They're going to do another stadium project, right?
They're taking bids, yeah.
Yeah, taking bids. And what's interesting about it is, you know, the old model is that particular teams like Ole Miss, schools like Ole Miss and schools like Tennessee, they just pay for the stadiums themselves. That's what they've done. They just pay for the stadiums themselves. They got endless amounts of money. They pour the money into the stadium. It gets bigger, grander, whatever else. What Ole Miss is doing is they are getting requests for a public-private partnership.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is very clear. It's that in this new world, and this pertains to Memphis, and I want to get to it in a minute. In this new world, Ole Miss doesn't have money. They have to pour their money into revenue share for players. You've got to pay players. And so Ole Miss can't just say, we're going to do this new fancy thing around our stadium. They have to get someone else to finance it because they can't. So when people talk about, and I've heard this recently, you know, Memphis really needs, it's time. Memphis has to get an on-campus or a smaller basketball arena, right?
Yep.
You hear that?
John
all
talked about it on Wednesday.
Yeah. You can't. The notion that Memphis, Ole Miss can't now fund its own stadium projects. So they're out looking for private money. There's so many people coming.
And they're looking to do like the entertainment district, Jeff.
Right, that you can, and so that's, you can't fund things. Even Ole Miss can't build things anymore. And so the notion that Memphis could find however many hundred million, whatever, to build a new basketball arena is totally fanciful. You have to build much cheaper to build a basketball team that can draw people to FedEx Forum than it would be to build a new basketball arena.
Yes.
Even though I would love to have it, I acknowledge it would be great, right size it, all of that, better atmosphere, all of those things. I 100% agree with that. But it would be cheaper to build the basketball team to fill the arena than it would be to build the arena. Anyway, Pete Golding better cover. Go ahead and lay the 17, Ole Miss over Tulane. Next.
Jeff, Oregon's got a bad taste in their mouth from their playoff performance last year. I think it's going to be a bad day to be JMU.
Ooh, I hope not. The problem is if these two games are both A, one-sided, and B, not watched.
It's okay. Everyone's going to be watching the NFL anyway.
It will provide further fuel to...
Oh, well, it doesn't even matter about the fuel. Right, we talked about Ross Dellinger's story.
We already know they're already doing one. All right. What's the line?
20.5. Well, you're going to lay it with the Duckies.
The line is 20.5. And we're going to lay it. Do you think Dante Moore is going to the NFL after this playoff run, or do you think he's going back to Oregon?
I think it kind of depends on how well they do. Because they have a roster, if they're healthy, there's no reason why they can't win this thing. And if he ends up being the best quarterback in the entire thing, I think everyone's going to sit there and go, man, you're more physically gifted than Mendoza. You can be the number one overall pick.
Well, the argument would be, it's turning out to be a really thin NFL quarterback draft with a lot of needy teams at the top. And next year with Arch coming back, but other quarterbacks as well, it feels like there's going to be more talent next year as a quarterback draft. So,
and I like Julian Sayin a lot. He's going to be a draft eligible. Yeah.
You never liked Lenore Sellers, but he's going to be
100%
in that too.
Yeah.
And so the point is that if your whole priority is to be picked as high as you can, it makes sense to go this year to be picked as high as you can. There's a whole other argument, though, that your priority.
Do you want to be picked by any of these teams?
It's always going to be bad teams picking you, though. Like,
so that's Mahomes.
It's almost always going to be bad teams picking you. And so I think it is a matter of you do want to be ready when you get to the NFL.
Yes. I actually think it's probably better for Dante to go back, have another year. Like, if you look at the guys last year that came out and had a lot of success, they played a ton of football.
Right. And, well, the other thing interesting about his path is that he transferred, like everyone transferred, but he transferred to sit out. Like, he sat out, he sat out a year, and he didn't play.
Yep.
And then he gets the starting job, and now he plays. A lot of times, if you're unsuccessful, what happens is people transfer down to play. And here, he has shown patience, is what I'm saying, before, in the interest, and look how, and it has served
and
him
and found
well.
A good situation.
And found, served, and it has served him as well. Anyway, so you're going to go ahead and Oregon minus 20.5. Here's the lineup, folks. Alabama plus 1.5 over Oklahoma. Miami plus 3.5 over A&M. Pete Golding better cover. Ole Miss minus 17 over Tulane. And Oregon minus 20.5 over James Madison. We are going to take a break. George and I will wrap it up on the other side. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We're only 2.5 hours away from kickoff in the Gasparilla Bowl. And tomorrow, joined by George now, Jeffrey is going to the Ole Miss game, playoff game, and so is George going to the playoff game. Jeffrey, that's a 2 o'clock kick?
2:30 kick. 2:30 kick.
And Jeffrey said he's leaving around, did he say 10?
I think he said like 10:30.
What's your plan?
Oh, you know it. We tailgate the family, group of families that we're good friends with. We've been tailgating in a spot for probably 10, maybe probably longer. Years.
How do you get the spot? How do you hold the spot? Do you pay for the spot?
Yeah, we have to pay for the spot and like the whole setup company and all that
stuff.
And is this
just magic that you are getting to tailgate for a playoff game? I mean, after everything?
It is absolutely magical. It's going to, I know how crowded it's going to be. That place is going to be a madhouse.
Right.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I heard Keith Carter talking about this and he said, you buy season tickets. You may or may not go to the game. You got a whole season worth of tickets. If you bought a ticket to this game, you're going to go. They're probably going to set a record for attendance. Meanwhile, the Grizzlies will be aiming for 500. They play the Wizards tomorrow. Tigers on the road at Mississippi State. Massive playoff game tonight, Alabama, Oklahoma. It should be a fun sports weekend. What is coming up next on 92.9 FM?
Coming up next on Jason and John, they have Anthony Sane, Joe Theismann, and of course, Parth Upadhyay coming up with Jeffrey and myself. We have Blake Topmeyer, and David Cobb joins Gabe at 5 o'clock.
We'll be back Monday. Thanks for listening. For now, work is done.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast